This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
It's that time of year when we take a team sport and force it through the prism of individuality.
There can only be one.
Yeah. It's award season, and just like any self-respecting forum, I thought we would do our own one. So, straight off the bat, I'm just going to ask you, Premier League Player of the Year, who you got?
Eden Hazard. After a terrible, terrible season last year, he's bounced back properly, shown the kind of quality player that he is. Double figures in terms of goals, double figures in terms of assists. Chelsea team that look as if they're going to win the league, potentially do the double. After everything he's been through, I think that's a damn fine effort.
Tom?
I'll start with a little bit of a caveat. That with all of these, you've got to kind of decide whether you want to go for the one player who's been individually brilliant, and there's been a whole load of those who've been individually brilliant and had great, great seasons, or a player who has made the team that they're playing in better. Or you could go for option three, which is someone who's done a bit of both, and I think Dele Alli. I think he's been exceptional. Goals from midfield, providing assists, just an all-action player and only 21. We always make these sort of points when award season comes around that the season's not over yet. And it might be that, you know, we're giving awards to players that look like they're going to win the league and they don't, or that they drop off severely. But, for the games he's played so far, I think he's been absolutely exceptional.
I'm going to go with a different shout. I'm actually going to go with Romelu Lukaku. He has got 24 goals this season. I think people forget that he's still only 23 years old. And I think if you take him out of that Everton team, they drop way down that table, not even just a few places. I think they drop almost half the table without Lukaku there. I think he's a fantastic player. I think he pretty much has carried that Everton team for a long time. What is interesting is that none of us have mentioned N'Golo Kante, who seems to be set to do a clean sweep of the awards. Is there a reason for that?
I mean, I think part of it is that argument I was making a minute ago, that, I mean, he's been like the fulcrum of a team that were very, very poor last season. He's come in and the way they play just revolves around him. He's been the real pillar of strength for and the platform that they managed to build what looks to be a title-winning season on. That does kind of depend on what you want in your player of the year. There's been similar sort of argument. You know, there's almost the opposite argument for someone like Alexis Sanchez, who's had an amazing season on his own. Arsenal have been very, very poor. They would be in an awful lot worse without him. When he was injured, they were terrible. Somewhere in the middle.
Kante hasn't won me enough fantasy football points. That's why I've not gone for him. Put him in, and he's the opposite of a fantasy football player almost, because he does his job so effectively, but it's in the middle of the pitch. So it's not providing loads of assists. And, you know, fantasy football doesn't count. It's so many interceptions to get you points. And there's almost an element of it about that. And as Tom says, yeah, you can apply absolute sense to that in the game of football and tactically. Yeah, he's an absolutely hugely important figure. You take him out of that Chelsea system, it doesn't work nearly as well. But he's not flashy at times, and that might count against. It wouldn't seem to count against him, maybe, in terms of the award season. For once, maybe that kind of player will be rewarded. But in the consciousness of maybe most football fans or casual football fans that watch highlights, is probably the flashier players.
He would never have won this award if there'd been a player that had truly lit up the league. I mean, even last season, I mean, he did pretty much the same job last season, and I'm not trying to do him down. He's been fantastic both last season and this season. However, there was Jamie Vardy and Riyad Mahrez who outshone him in the attacking third, and we all know that those are the type of players who win these awards. So those were the two who got the awards. You know, there's not really been someone this season who's really lit up the league, and so as you say, he is the embodiment of Chelsea's runaway title success under Antonio Conte. So he's been the kind of the guy who's identified as the award winner.
The thing I would say I personally counted against Ali was I thought in the first half of the season he wasn't quite as good, and the mixture of Champions League, I thought he slightly struggled to adapt between Premier League and Champions League in the first half of the season. Actually, when they went out, that's when he's really come to the fore since they've been out of Europe, and that would maybe, whereas to me Hazard has been consistent to a high level, both in terms of kind of key cup competitions. He's been vital to their FA Cup run and big matches in the league.
I mean, a bit like you said, though, I think giving Kante the award is almost a reward for Chelsea. It's a reward for the way they've played and the way that, how far they've come from what they were last season. I think you're probably right. If there's one player that scores 35 goals and gets all the headlines, then it is a different story. But I think I'm all for it, because it's people rewarding a more tactical, smart, nuanced footballer than someone who, you know, just gets on the end of things. But
well, that's the thing. We every year we complain about these players who don't get recognised, and then someone does, and we all go, "Where's the guy who scored 30 goals?"
It's not exciting.
Yeah, that's exactly. It. Claude McAleely sitting somewhere going, "I created a position he named after me. Where's my awards?" And then Xavi with the Ballon d'Or that he should have had, or Iniesta as well. Yeah. So, you know, different player, obviously, to N'Golo Kante, but in the same vein of the argument of maybe players that should have been rewarded at some time in their career, and as you say, when they do, we argue about it anyway.
It's interesting, Scott, you mentioned the consistency of Eden Hazard there, because I almost feel like, while yes, he's had good performances at the start and the middle and the end of the season, so I suppose in that sense he has had a consistency, I still don't feel like people are touting him as the next Galactico, and I can't remember who it was there a week ago saying that he's in the class of Messi and Ronaldo and so on. For me, he's just nowhere near that level yet, simply because if you watch a game, you know that Messi is going to do something amazing in a game. Eden Hazard is capable of that. I think he is capable of being at that level. But if I watch a game of Chelsea playing, I'm not guaranteed to see that from Eden Hazard.
Well, that was a trick Mourinho tried after the title winning season to use Hazard and try and get back into form, was that he tried to put him up there with that level. And yeah, I think he probably failed for a number of reasons to maybe exploit that. But then I think if you look back even more recently to the semi-final against Spurs, he comes on and lifts that team. And is it maybe to that level yet? No, but I think there are signs mentally this year that he has carried that attack, even going back earlier in the season to maybe the Arsenal game where it famously all turned in that change of formation. There were signs even then he was starting to come good. The Man City game, the way he just drives, they're a team of transitions, Chelsea, and he is the most central figure there is to that, because no one brings the ball upfield quicker. The goal against West Ham away would be probably the most pertinent example of that. I think he can get there, but it needs to be more than one season off, one season on. That's what we've seen from Man City, and that's why they haven't reached those levels. We need more.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't think it's helpful to anyone to compare anyone to either Messi or Ronaldo. I mean, Hazard's a great player. He's one of the best players in the league. You know, he's one of the best players in his position in the world. But, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Messi scored his 500th goal before he's 30.
Yeah.
Hazard is not going to score 500 goals in his career.
No.
Yeah. Maybe End of
just,
argument.
Maybe we just need to get used to it. Yeah, yeah. Turning our focus away from the Premier League to the rest of world football. European Player of the Year. Is there anyone that stands out for either of you, Tom?
Can I be really boring?
Okay.
Well, you weren't.
I'm going to be really, really boring. Oh, maybe it's controversially boring. I'm going to go Cristiano Ronaldo. As long as we're starting the season with the European Championships, and, you know, these things do always tend to be swayed a little bit by international football as well, I just think he's had an exceptional, exceptional year. He's certainly adapted his game. He's changed the way he plays completely. It used to be that every single game he was the most important player for Real Madrid. He's not necessarily the case anymore. But he's still at 33, looking as dangerous as ever. Changed the way he's playing and pushing them forward. And they're still the best team in Europe.
Mm-hmm. And scoring 5 goals against Bayern Munich and over exactly. 2 legs in the Champions League.
It's just still accelerating at a ridiculous rate. You know, his statistics are crazy. He's still so influential. He's still so important. And could well end the season with almost everything he wanted, almost everything he could have won.
Mm-hmm. Scott?
I'm going to go for Mbappe. I think, you know, when I first heard...
Hipster scum.
Yeah. It's not just a shot. No, when I...
Sorry, there's something really funny about Monaco now being the hipster's choice. Yeah, so they play football on top of a car park, yeah, owned by a billionaire.
Yeah, like James Bond villains.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But when I first heard that there was a kid that they were compared to Henri, just when we were talking about Hazard and Messi and Ronaldo, going, it'll be ridiculous, it's just not going to happen. That's what I thought when I heard, oh, we've got the next Henri. Like, is this the millennials' next Maradona? But he's helped take a Monaco team. He's scoring lots of goals in the Champions League. I think that's 7-6 goals in, yeah, the Champions League. You know, taking them to the semi-finals. They're on course to maybe pick PSG to the league and end that kind of run in France. The forefront of a team that's going to hit the 100 goal mark for the season. I mean, that's just unheard of at that age, to be a teenager. You know, that's just incredible numbers. And he looks as if he can back it up game after game over a sustained period. So for that reason alone, I think it's not an interesting story, but he looks as if he can go all the way to the top.
I would put forward Neymar for the best in Europe. Probably a poor time to make this case because, of course, he's suspended for the Clásico and he seems to be in a little bit of a petulant mood at the moment. But if you're taking the whole season, I think there's an argument that he's almost not the best player at Barcelona, but certainly the most important, certainly tactically, because he stretches the pitch and creates chances for Suarez and Messi and creates space for them. You take him out of that team and Barcelona are a very different side because they have to play someone like Paco Alcacer, who's a completely different striker. Sticking in Spain as well, Antoine Griezmann as well has really raised himself to the level of Messi and Ronaldo this season. I think he is in that bracket now. That Atletico Madrid team is a juggernaut, and he is the face of it, and he's the one player given a wild card by Simeone to basically do whatever he wants. And even then, he doesn't just slack off in the defensive style, he's back digging in. We saw that against Leicester, you know, back defending. So those are the two players that I would put forward for European Player of the Year. Is there any newcomers? I was going to make the case for Kylian Mbappe, but you've raised them to the best in Europe. So is there anyone else that has caught the eye?
I mean, in the Premier League, in terms of kind of new signings, I think it's not been a great summer vintage. I think Leroy Sané's interested me at points, and Mkhitaryan, I think after a really tough start, has done quite well. But in terms of newcomers, certainly to the British shores, I don't think there's a standout, the one that I would choose. When I was looking for a newcomer, I'd probably be looking into kind of Central Europe.
Mm. Tom?
Yeah, similarly. I can't think of anyone that's particularly stood out as a new signing. I mean, there's been a whole load of players that have raised their game this over the last sort of 12 months or so, but there's not, I mean, most of the big money signings haven't necessarily lived up to all the money that they were spent on them. I can't think of anyone. I mean, like you say, Mbappe's the obvious choice to really blossom at such a young age. But
if we're looking at new signings, and he's not necessarily a newcomer because he moved from a Premier League club to another Premier League club, but I think Sadio Mane has been excellent for Liverpool. In fact, if he hadn't been injured, I might even have put him forward as a Player of the Year contender. I think he's so important to that Liverpool team now. I think you see now them stuttering a little bit simply because he's not in the team. And of course, there's that terrible run when he went away to Africa Cup of Nations. So a fantastic signing. If we're looking at young players coming through, I think Tom Davis at Everton has impressed me on occasion. He's been really quite good and seems to thrive against the big teams as well, which I always think is a good mark of a good player if they prove himself against the best opposition. In terms of most improved, I'm just making up these categories as we go along.
Most improved,
I'm thinking maybe Victor Moses. There's probably quite a few in that Chelsea team considering they finished 10th.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I've really been impressed by Raja Nainggolan at Roma. Not that he was ever a bad player, but I think he's now stepped up to potentially the elite level of midfielders in Europe. I've actually been really impressed. Yeah, this is only a short term one since January, but Julian Draxler at Paris Saint-Germain has really made a big impact there.
He surprised me actually. I didn't think he would
make that much of an impression, when you know the way he left Wolfsburg and probably should have left in the summer to go to PSG, and there was doubts over whether the temperament, the fact he'd left Schalke under a cloud, Wolfsburg, was he really worth the money? I think he's part of their revival in the second half of the season has largely been because Draxler's given them an added edge in attack. So I think in terms of improvement, he would be right up there as well.
I mean, for me, you'd take your pick from the Chelsea team.
Marcus Alonso as well, I suppose, is one I've just thought.
Cahill. Even Pedro, people like that, who just last season just seemed to completely lose.
But the big ones cost us.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, you could. There are probably 9 or 10 examples from the Chelsea team of players that have looked to be finished. Really, looked like they were disinterested, and are now, look world beaters again.
Yeah. It's not a time to mention Stuart Armstrong, is it? And his magnificent hair.
He definitely gets the best hair award.
Definitely in Scotland, I think. Yeah, he's definitely most improved.
Well, Lee Griffiths isn't winning the best hair award anyway. So that's our awards sorted. We don't have any trophies or anything to give any of them, but we'll buy them a drink next time we see them.
Nice to have seen them a bit.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.